We've got Jim Heaney on. He's from the investigativepost.org. Investigativepost.org. You can go there. You can actually, if you're a fan of Jim Heaney, like as I am a fan of Jim Heaney, you can donate there, help them support all that they do. But also just get news that you're not going to get anywhere else. Jim Heaney, thanks for taking time. Got a little bit of a delay
good to
there.
Talk to you, David.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
All right. Yeah, we got a little bit of a delay.
But
we are going to work through this delay. It's not going to be a problem. Now, on Monday, you released Trump donors in Western New York. On Tuesday, you released Biden donors. We have about 277 contributions coming from this area that went to the Trump campaign, totaling $813,000. From the same area in Western New York, we had 108 local contributions to the Biden campaign, totaled about $287,000. You break it down by zip code and the largest donors. When you put a story out like this, what is the intent of, first of all, this is all public information. It's not as if you've done anything nefarious. You're not outing people. Anyone can find this information. You've taken your investigative post has just put it all into one resource so people can find it.
You cut out on me, David.
All right. No, not a problem.
So, difficulties.
Yeah.
If you can restate the last 10 seconds of your question.
Right. So what I'm saying is that this information that you put on investigative post is public information that anyone can access themselves.
Yeah,
what you've done is just bring it together.
It's from the federal, yeah. It's the Federal Elections Commission. And there's a bit of a delay. There's periodic reporting deadlines. What we wanted to do in terms of, why we did it, I think it's just interesting. It's just interesting to know who from the community are supporting the major presidential candidates. And those numbers you gave out, those were donations of the total of $1,000 or more. So there's literally probably hundreds, if not thousands, of smaller donors who have given to both candidates. We just kind of zeroed in on the 1,000 and up.
You know, one of the takeaways to this, I think, is that, you know, it's one way to say, well, people in Western New York support Trump more. One of the things that you mentioned, though, is that Trump has been raising money longer than Biden has been raising money.
Since day one. I mean, Trump's been essentially raising money for nearly 4 years. You know, Biden has been raising money for a year and change. And,
I think we lost Jim Heaney. Could you just have him call in? That'd be great. Just have him call into the hotline. And that app is, I'm not a big fan of that. As a matter of fact, I don't want to use that app ever again. Every time we have someone on it, they always bolo out on us. So we'll get Jim Heaney back and all will be restored in your universe. But again, on investigativepost.org, if you go to that website, you know, I'm reading criticism of Jim Heaney as if, you know, he has somehow, you know, it violated people's privacy. This is information that is out there that anyone can get. And the takeaway from it is not necessarily, to me, I think the biggest story of the Republican donors is who's missing from the notable Republican candidates. The notable Republican donors who normally put money into campaigns. You look for Palladino, Jeremy Jacobs, Louis Simonelli. None of those names are showing up as donors to the Trump campaign. They're not showing up as donors to the Biden campaign. But again, Jim Heaney at investigativepost.org took all those numbers and just put donors over $1,000 and went through and gave us, you know, a report of who is contributing to what candidate in the region. And people will take that information. They'll do what they want with that information. Well, obviously, Trump should win in Erie County because he's raised almost eight times what Joe Biden has raised. And again, if you read the story at investigativepost.org, there's really no extrapolation of that. That just means that he's been raising money longer as president from this area. Biden had a smaller window of time. It doesn't really equate to grassroots support for the candidates. It doesn't mean that one candidate is going to win by eight times the vote. It just means that more $1,000 donors went to Trump. And the type of people that are donating to a campaign, I don't know if I don't want to live it. There are some prominent people here giving money to Biden. Do I believe that I would not frequent a doctor who gave money to Joe Biden? That's absurd. I want the best doctor in Western New York. And if there's a doctor that's bundling $90,000 to Joe Biden, he's obviously a very successful doctor. I probably want that doctor working on me and my family. Do I really care that that doctor doesn't see, you know, North American trade the same way I do, or doesn't have the same opinion on the Second Amendment? I think that's a ridiculous that's a ridiculous way to live your life, that you're not going to go to a business or go to a professional who's as good as what they do because of who they give money to. I don't think that's the intent of what Jim Heaney's trying to do. We have Jim Heaney back. Jim, you there? Jim, there you are.
Hopefully we won't have any more problems.
Yeah, there we go. I was just making the point that, you know, there are people that take this information. And one of the things I've always respected about you is you're putting data, you're putting facts out there. These are the people that are giving money. What people do with that information really is incumbent on themselves. But if someone is looking at this list and saying, I go to this doctor and this doctor gave $60,000 to a candidate that I oppose, the intent here isn't to out people. The intent here isn't to say you should know who your orthodontist is giving money to. It's just to remind us that there are people that are contributing large amounts. And, you know, down the road, if they get a contract, you know, then it becomes a story. If you're giving $100,000 to Joe Biden, he becomes the president and you land a defense contract, well, then you could put two and two together. But most of these people don't have really government affiliations.
Correct. Correct. You know, the bottom line is political contributions, be it at the state or national level, are a matter of public record. If you don't want people to know who you're giving money to, then don't give it to them. or on a national level, there's plenty of places to give, you know, so-called dark money, in which, you know, thanks to numerous court rulings, allow donors to remain anonymous. But, if you don't like who your doctor gave to, well, I guess that's between you and your doctor.
Right, between you and your doctor. Jim Heaney from investigativepost.org. You can go to that website. There's a lot of great stories on there. And you're not going to get these stories anywhere else. You really should be, you're in a world under your own into how you get to the bottom of stories, get information that no one else seems to be able to get. And you've been doing that your entire career. You deserve a lot of credit for that. Jim, one of the things, though, that you bring up dark money, this is actually, to me, the subtext of these posts that you did on Monday and on Tuesday with Trump and with Biden, is that that really is the reason why dark money exists. That's why these 501c4s really have life. McCain-Feingold didn't do anything to make contributions more transparent. They actually clouded it more. And people talk about McCain-Feingold. It really is one of those things where if you don't want to show up on a public record and you are a business or a company, there are ways that you can funnel money into whatever you want and totally appear opaque to any reporting.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I should, I should mention, you know, what we published, and we acknowledge this in the post, it is not a comprehensive list of donors to Trump and Biden. There are so many different campaign committees out there. For example, we reported that Palladino had not given to the RNC or to Trump's official campaign committee, which is true. I found that to be very curious, and I asked Ken Crooley, who does money, the feature is called Money in Politics, which we intend on publishing at least every other week, perhaps every week. But it's Money in Politics, and Ken Crooley does the research for us. When Carl's name didn't appear, I asked him to contact Carl. Because it just struck me as really weird, because Carl is such a big Trump guy, and Ken texted Carl and, you know, posed a question to him, and Carl responded by saying, "Yes, I have given to Trump." Follow-up question: "Well, through which committee?" We're trying to track this. Carol didn't respond. Now it turns out that Carol did give, and we just found this out yesterday. Carol did give to another campaign committee out there, and that money was eventually funneled to one of numerous Trump PACs that were not included in our analysis. So it looks like Carol did give $15,000, but you know, it's kind of needle in a haystack when it comes to some of the stuff. It would have been real easy if Carl would have just said, yeah, I gave, here's the amount I gave, and here's when I gave it, and here's who I gave it to.
Right. When it comes to this time of year,
would have reported something different. But there's just so many ways. There's been this explosion in the last couple of presidential elections in the ways money comes to candidates, and it makes it, it makes it very, very difficult to put together an all-compassing list. Again, what we did was we looked at the two biggies. We looked at the party national committees, and we looked at the candidate's official campaign committee. And in the list, and I'm sure there are people beyond Palladino name people who gave through other means that that didn't appear on the list. But it is what it is.
Now, when you look at these numbers over previous elections, are these alarming numbers? Is this higher than we've seen before? Did, you know, Bush, Romney, McCain, did they get this type of support from Western New York as Republicans? And as far as Clinton going back to 2016, did she bring in more than Biden did?
To be honest with you, David, we didn't do that analysis, so I really couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I would suspect, because there is more money flowing into this presidential campaign than in previous ones, that you know, the Trump numbers may be larger. You know, Hillary was on the campaign trail a lot longer than Joe Biden is this year, and Hillary has a lot more New York State connections, being a former senator. I suspect Hillary might have done better for those reasons than Biden this year. But you know, Trump, you know, $800,000 is nothing to sneeze at.
It's not, you know, here's the problem in the world where we're talking about, you know, packages of $2.2 trillion. You know, you look at healthcare and you think $850 billion, that's nothing, you know, compared to what we're talking about, you know, with COVID recovery packages. It does stunt a little bit. It taints the amount of money. $800,000 is a tremendous amount of money. But then you think about it in terms of how much. I mean, Biden brought in $300 million. You know, we're very close to a 2024 campaign that's maybe $1 billion per candidate. You know, in just the money that they raise from people outside. When you look at these numbers and you look at politics, as long as you've been, you know, covering this topic, is there something wrong with the way that we fundraise and we collect money and we report money in politics?
I think there's a couple of fundamental problems. The first is that it's not. Well, there's all these databases, Federal Election Commission and the New York State Board of Elections. You know, this is an issue at the state and local level as well. It's very, very, very difficult to get a complete picture of who's giving. And as we know, money influences politicians who pass policy that affects the public. So we don't have a full picture of the financial influences that are being brought to bear on these candidates. That's one thing. The second thing is just the sheer amount of money. It's kind of like, you know, you can't go out and buy a Chevrolet anymore. If you're not prepared to spend Jaguar money, you're not going to get a car. So it's you know, a lot of campaigns are starting to price themselves out of reach for people who either don't have a lot of personal wealth or who aren't prepared to, shall we say, prostrate themselves to moneyed interests. So lack of transparency and the fact that you've got to go to moneyed interest to adequately fund a campaign. I think those are two pretty fundamental problems.
You know, when we look at just switching gears over to the internet and really organizations like yourself that are trying to exist in the internet, and, you know, you've got news organizations out there, you've got 501c3s that are reporting news, you've got bloggers, you've got people that are putting information, you know, everyone wants to be critical of the internet. The amount of information, the amount of reporting that has been put out from people like you and sources like investigativepost.org, you know, it really is doing a service to, I think, the general public in finding out information. The stories that you've covered, no one's going to do that work. No one's going to give us the information. The MT Bottoms Pockets story was, you owned that story. The information that came out from Investigative Post, you couldn't find anywhere else. It painted a complete picture of what the circumstances were. It avoids the taint of people that have partisan points of view. It's just the facts. When you look at what's happening with Twitter and Facebook and the U.S. Code 230 blocking what they consider material that is offensive or any sort of change that comes down because of the perception that other companies and other entities are abusing that, that affects everyone on the internet. It's not just Twitter and Facebook. It's every single person that's trying to do something and put out information. They now have to be held to the standards of companies that have billions of dollars and can defend themselves.
Well, the web is a double-edged sword. I mean, it's a conduit for a lot of useful information. It's also a conduit for a lot of nonsense, and it's also a lot of content for a lot of disinformation. And, you know, back in the day, David, back in the day when you basically had your daily newspapers and your ABC, NBC, and CBS affiliates, and you maybe had a couple of radio stations with news operations, and you had your community weeklies, that was the universe of information that was widely available to the public. Now, anybody can be their own publisher. And so, you know, the norms that were attached to legitimate news organizations don't necessarily exist anymore. And that's where you get into problems with disinformation, misinformation. I think people just have to be very mindful of who they're going to for their news, and they need to be trustworthy.
Would you support just changing that section of 230, or do you think leave it alone and let people just be responsible adults?
Well, you know, I think the argument that some of the social media platforms are somehow being unfair to conservative points of view, I think it's just political posturing. I just don't see that happening. I mean, there's so much out there from the left, right, and middle. I don't think it's playing to anybody's interests in particular. I think that's just the right's effort to try and intimidate social media companies into doing things the way they want them done.
That is Jim Heaney, investigativepost.org. Go to that website, read their stuff, support them monetarily. They do a great service for all of us. Jim Heaney, I appreciate you coming on. Look forward to having you on again.
Thank you, David.
I appreciate that. That's Jim Heaney, investigativepost.org. Check those guys out. Agree with them, disagree with them. They're doing things that nobody else is doing. You have a choice. And that is what this is all about, right? Go get your news where you feel comfortable getting your news. Trust the people you trust. I love having Jim on. We're going to have him on again, hopefully weekly, very soon. Give us updates on what he's talking about at investigativepost.org.